Hi guys, welcome to the Real Messy Podcast, where we have real messy conversations that occur in education. This is Jennifer Nace, and I'm here with
Rachel Lisinski,
Victoria Loeb,
and Shayna Piggott.
Teaching high school students is a lot of responsibility.
And teachers spend a lot of time thinking about and planning for their students every day.
It can be hard to find time to engage in philosophical conversations about education that help us grow as educators.
So tune in as we try to make sense out of the messiness that can be education by encouraging our students to be relevant,
engaging,
authentic
learners. Let's dive in.
All right.
Hi, everybody. So we have talked project-based learning before, but it's been impossible to ignore the PBL happening recently in our math classes. Maybe you've seen students sprawled out on the floor of the hallway with their trebuchets. Maybe you saw them or heard the cheers from between the softball and baseball fields on Halloween as students trudged through the snow, launching pumpkins high into the air. Maybe you've seen them experimenting with green screens in the library, putting themselves in front of Disney World or an ice rink. So today we thought we'd spotlight the math department for their PBL work. So first we have Daniel Landau with us.
Hello.
We also have Jen Nace.
Hi.
And Shayna Piggott.
Hello.
Okay, so welcome, Daniel. Welcome to the Real Messy Podcast. So why don't we just start here? Could you talk about how your project came to be, the planning involved with it?
So the origins of this project were last spring. The math department has prioritized PBL over the last 2 years. It was actually our department goal. And we ran a large project in regular geometry that was pretty successful. Students got a lot out of it. And I started to think about how I could extend this to my other prep. So I ran a quick little pilot project last spring involving flight trajectories of the space shuttle. And that got me thinking about flight trajectories more generally, which is a topic that's really well suited to the sort of distance and angle calculations that we do a lot of in math analysis. So I started thinking about what if we throw things and watch them fly. That obviously led to, you know, medieval siege weaponry. I don't see how it wouldn't. And the curricular planning, this was a team project. There is no way I could have done this without Shayna and Rachel and Chris Ellingson, who all brought their own expertise to the table. So we started talking about it last April and brainstorming and identifying obstacles, opportunities, growth areas.
So this has been a pretty long process in the making then for you. What were some of the obstacles involved here in the planning specifically for PBL and math?
So PBL more generally, there's logistics. There are the supplies. If the kids are going to build trebuchets, they're going to need the materials and tools to build it with, which are not things that I keep in my desk. So that's sort of a general PBL challenge. Mathematically, the challenge is how do you make sure there's enough math content in it to justify it? And that was a challenge. That's actually a growth area that I've identified for next year's iteration of the project. Is there a way to bring more math content into it?
Mm-hmm. Did you find students struggle at all with that process in terms of soft skill kind of stuff, the collaboration, working together, kind of navigating that aspect of it? Because they did work in groups, right?
They did. They worked in groups of either three or four. And the soft skills actually turned out to be the biggest and best takeaway from the entire thing. At the end of the project, when the students and I were discussing what, if anything, did you learn, they learned a little about parametric equations. But what they learned a lot about was those soft skills outlined in the Portrait of a Graduate poster we have hanging by the door of the classroom in terms of initiative, collaboration, communication, problem solving, perseverance, all of those skills. And Rachel helped me scaffold that a little bit with a sort of midpoint check-in, which was the teams evaluating themselves as teams, as individuals, who's contributing, what are their strengths, what are their weaknesses. And I know for several teams that was challenging, but did lead to improvements in team dynamics and some self-awareness on behalf of the students who got a better sense of how they were doing, if not necessarily with math skills, and certainly with those soft collaboration, perseverance skills that we're trying to develop.
I think one of my favorite things about the project was that you got to see flow. Like we talk about like this happiness, this like full engagement within a project, and like walking around the classrooms, listening to their presentations, watching them outside, these kids were in. Like they bought in, they were engaged, like time wasn't an out, like just flittered away. Like they were just so invested in like making it their own. It was just really cool to see kids in a math class like just have that ability to be creative and like engage, and it was just awesome.
Any other takeaways or any other pieces of advice you might give another teacher, a math teacher or not, if they're looking to go and incorporate a PBL unit into their curriculum?
So the first is, I would love to do more of this. This was my third PBL so far, and every time I hear the magic phrase from students, which is, I wish school was like this every day. Mm-hmm. I have heard this from many students at this point in three different projects. So I'm glad I did it. I want to do more. If I would give a piece of advice to a teacher considering this, do it as part of a team. This requires people bringing different competencies to the table. I mean, there were four people who made this trebuchet problem happen with hours and hours of work and planning and support. So don't go it alone, not only with your course team, but also with other experts in the building who can help with the literacy dimension, the construction dimension, any scientific tools or concepts that you might need. The resources are there, so use them.
All right, well, that was super informative and helpful. Thank you so much for coming in with us today and sharing the super fun project with us. We'll be talking next to another math teacher at GCHS, Matt Bridges, about a fun PBL they were doing in algebra.
All right, thank you so much for inviting me.
And now for today's teacher tip of the day.
And today's teacher tip of the day comes from Shayna.
All right, guys, PBL, take the risk. It's totally worth it. Whether it's successful the first try or a complete dumpster fire, we're still going to learn, but the learning comes with a bit of reflection. So ask those questions before, during, and after. Think about what you can change to make it better, but keep taking that risk.
And that was your teacher tip of the day.
All right, so we have Matt Bridges with us today. He's a math teacher, and you are here today. You can say hi, by the way.
Hello. Great to be here.
Thank you.
I was waiting for you to pause I could say something.
It does on the list say pause for hello a lot of times, so I apologize for that. But you don't need a pause. You can just say hi.
Hello.
So you're in today because you guys have been working on a PBL in your class.
Yes, for algebra.
Okay. So can you tell us a little bit about the project? I know you said you're new to algebra this year, but talk us through a little bit about the background, maybe.
Yeah, so last year, I didn't teach algebra, and this project went into place. It's a project about rates of change in algebra. And last year was, from other teachers' perspectives, a dumpster fire. So we took time over the summer to look at how we can better scaffold it for students, and even as teachers, how can we maybe do more in some areas and then still allow students the freedom of choice and creativity to kind of come through a little bit more. So kind of through that process, it was a 14-day in-class project. And, you know, compared to last year, I don't have a reference point, but talking to other teachers, it was significantly better. So whether it was more adopted by the kids or we just better planned it the second year, you know, I think that's mm-hmm. the most important thing is no matter what happens, good or bad, we have to take time to reflect on it and always strive to be better.
Okay. So for a non-math person, you said something about RISE. Can you explain what the kids were actually doing?
Yeah, so the project was about rates of change, which is just change
rise.
Over time.
Rise over run.
Rise over run. That's what I was thinking of. Okay.
Rise over run.
So your mind did math without you even knowing
it's
it.
Amazing.
It is amazing. So they learned about that. They had no idea. So it did start with students exploring, researching. We gave them a handful of helpful links and videos for them to check out, but they were left to kind of research rates of change slope on their own, and it were in this linear equation unit. We're just beginning that. So students got to learn, you know, rise over run, and then turn that into the multiple modes of representation, which is a big thing. So can they use the formula, you know, which they found on their own, and then taking two ordered pairs, find the slope of that, applying it to a table of values, and then also applying it to a graph. So they were able to do all three of those, which we normally do in class. But then we took the, a step further and allowed the kids to create videos about any topic they chose to figure out rates of change. So that varied from the number, I guess the height of a cake, one of them was interesting, the height of a cake, the feet of cake, and how many guests were fed at a wedding, to speed, just someone in a car chase. And so students inserted a car chase into it and then did a voiceover. To just money, you know, students using money ideas, food ideas. Some students did rates of change of screen time. So how much are students on their phones on a daily basis? And then we just converted that into the average. So we were looking for a single value of a rate of change being just algebra one. So, you know, screen time, the class, when they surveyed and researched, was 42 minutes a day. Which I thought was rather low, but
yeah,
it is the number
I think they need
with.
To be checking that Apple screen right? time thing a little bit, but.
But that, yeah, that's what they came up with. So, you know, we roll with it, and then, so they applied, what does 42 look like on a graph, 42 over one, you know, per day, and then extended over a period of time, tables, and then using the slope formula of picking two random points and then teaching it. Like part of the video, part of the expectation was they were teaching us how they got all that information.
That sounds cool.
So 14 days seems like a significant amount of time, especially in a math class, to dedicate to a single project. Did you have to make sacrifices curricularly along the way in order to make time for that?
Yes, 11 days.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah. So you normally do it in three.
That was the conversation I had with students, because one of them actually asked, like, is this how we're going to learn the rest of the semester? I said, that's a great question. We're not, because we don't have the time for that. We added 11 days, and so we do a PBL project-based learning, right? First semester and one second semester. And because of the time constraints that we have, it's not something that is conducive to doing all the time. I don't think anything, if you do it all the time, is the most beneficial. I think a variety of it. So, you know, and that was a conversation I had going through this for my first year is, can we save time? Can we scaffold this more for students to maybe instead of doing 14 days, can we do it in 10?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, can we get this done? Because I felt like there were days when I'm like, how do kids, you know, the end project students ended up doing overall, I thought, a really good job for their first exposure kind of to this in high school, because, you know, they're all freshmen. They only put in 3 days work. How, you know, should they really be getting an A in the project? Like, what were they doing the other days? Now, some of the other days were filled with them filling out notes, doing formative assessments, kind of those check-ins, and actually figuring out what all it was, all the math was.
So it's like process over product.
Yeah.
That's tricky.
Well, I know one of the changes that was made for this year's project over the dumpster fire that was last year, I mean, every time you do something for the first time, that's kind of crazy, is they like pre-taught a lot of the technology. So they did a video project earlier in the year that didn't necessarily incorporate math to learn some of those skills, have time to kind of break that down so that when they got to the math part, they weren't also learning the technology at the same time. They kind of had that base to work from.
Yeah. And I didn't have to go through that last year, but I think that certainly helped, like based on other teachers. Yeah, for sure. So that was, again, we dedicated time knowing that this was kind of an important skill, especially incoming freshmen, having almost a tech week. So that.
And I other teachers helped, appreciate that.
Yeah.
Like, these kids don't just live in algebra. Like, they go to other classes. Oh, yeah. Right. And I know history was doing video projects, and the kids were able to remember what they had worked on in the math classes. So it's, like, that skill piece that, like, sometimes it doesn't show the benefit in your room, but it does in other places. So.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, we're excited that you guys are doing some cool projects.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us today. Also, for all of our listeners on Anchor, we'd like to invite you to leave us a voice message. So if you have some positive words for any of our guests today, or if you'd like to be featured on a future episode, please reach out. Thank you for joining us.
Great to be here. It was fun.
Bye, man.